Just before I started, I came to the stage, I was just thinking of where to really emphasize this morning. And my heart went to one place. You know, I'd said before, and I've always been emphasizing the need for believing rightly, isn't it?
Yes,
thinking rightly, because that's more like the source of everything in Christianity. If you are not thinking rightly, you can't live the right way. So don't necessarily stress so much on living right than believing right. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And for years, I've been trying to emphasize this truth to us. That, you know, most Christians just want to launch into the field, more like a battlefield, and go and destroy the enemy. They want to launch, so you hear the emphasis of Christians most times is power and etc. Are we together? They want to launch into the battlefield. They want to deal with the enemy. They want to just stop sin by all means, you know, and etc. And it's nice to want to stop sin, isn't it? But the problem is that the desire is so hot, it's burning, because we know the Lord does not like sin, isn't it? James 1:23, the Bible considers that a pure religion. Let's read that, James 1:23. Is it 23 or 28? All right, the last part of the scriptures. Is it 28? The last verse. Let's read the last verse. So let's read together. Pure and undefiled religion. Can we read together, church?
Yes,
so let's read together. Want to go? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. What is it? All right, so pure and what? Undefiled religion. What is a religion? Something you do, practice every time as a culture, isn't it? God is like, what I don't mind being a religion for Christians is that anytime they can just go and visit the orphans, it's not a problem. It should be a religion. Are we together? And anytime they can go and visit the widows, it's not a problem. It can be a religion. And lastly, he said they should not be on, they should, and that you should keep yourself unspotted from the world. I like to read it in the NLT because it's very, very easy to comprehend. So let's see in the NLT's rendition. Want to read pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and what? India. And refusing to let the world corrupt you. So my emphasis is the last part. By God's grace, we just did the first part. We did it yesterday, but we visited 3 orphanage homes. Hallelujah. And for all of you who assisted, thank you. And for some of you who could not, I'm sure next year you will do. So it says pure and genuine religion. So visit the orphans. Anytime you decide, it's fine by God. The widows, anytime you decide, it's fine by God. You don't need to hear the Holy Spirit to visit orphans. You don't need to hear the Holy Spirit to visit widows. And you don't need to hear the Holy Spirit to run away from sin. That's what it's trying to say. You want to fall into sin, you're like, Spirit of God, should I fall or not? He's like, it's a religion, run away from sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? This is what God considers to be what? Pure and what? Genuine religion. It should be practice. So what I'm trying to emphasize is the fact that eternally we understand that God does not support sin. Are we together? So any doctrine that gives you the liberty to sin is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's the emphasis. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Because nothing is bigger than the written word of God. The Bible said the more sure word of prophecy is what the Lord has said in His word, in His written word. Are we together? It is the more sure word of prophecy. In other words, anything the Holy Spirit is saying today must align with what He has said yesterday, because Jesus is yesterday the same, today the same, and forever the same. So He cannot say something today that will alter what He has said before. His character is consistent. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So it will help you not fall a prey to Satan through some of these demons that will come and lie to us. Because eternally, Satan's agenda is to the end that we what? John 10. The enemy come but to what? Steal, to what? Kill. And to what? Destroy. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. And he wants you what? Destroyed. You know, I feel sick immediately when I see people seated in church not writing. Like these young, for the new people, I don't have a problem with you people. Some of you, if you don't have your notepad, your notes at the back there, stand up. Let me see. I get sick immediately when I see that. It means you don't value your life. If I was not in church, I would have said something to you. That is my younger brother that is acting the most stupid in this assembly. The most stupid. You can sit down. For the love of Christ constrains me. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, sometimes when we talk now, people who are coming for the first time, I say, that your pastor is harsh. See the temptation. Hallelujah to Jesus. There will be people who are joining us for the first time, we can understand. But if you have been here, it's not about what we are saying, you know, being written so that you go and paste it on the wall and write Prophet Simon under. That's not the point. Are we together? If you truly have value for the word, if you know the power of God's word, you write it down, go back home and meditate on it. Because it doesn't end there. This is just part one, or a part of fulfilling the equation for a manifestation of God's word. This is not all to it. If all to go to manifesting God's word for you, your scheme, your equation, your procedure is that you come to church and just sit down and go back home and forget everything you've learned, you will never become a reality of what you have been hearing. You have to go back home. Even a student who passes exam just listening to lecturer in the morning, is that possible?
No.
Nobody. If you pass, you just be like, you know, that grade we call Pharaoh, let my people go. Just D. And you may probably come out from the university with a pass degree. You know, a pass degree is like, we don't have a grade for you. Just go. We don't want to keep you in school. You tried. That's how it will be. Even in the things of God. You just make heaven finally. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. You suffer, and not make heaven. Meanwhile, God wants you to enjoy heaven on earth. Do you know you can enjoy the best of God on the earth? Amidst wickedness, you can enjoy so much peace. The Bible says one with God is what? Majority. So please learn this. Don't ever come to church. You know, I would have said if you treat the Bible the way you treat your books in school, you would become a very good Christian. But some people don't even treat their books in school like that. So I don't know whether that example would have made sense. But if you, for some of you that treat your books very, very, very good in school, by that I mean you go back and read and you are a first class student. If you are a first class student, say amen. I didn't say by faith. Let's be realistic. If you are a first class student, just wave at me. Wave, let me see you now. Be confident. You have a first class degree right now. You are graduating with it. Just... I thought I have some first class in this church. I was hearing one time that some of you were graduating in a first class degree. Who are those people? Fortune is a first class. Why is she scared of raising her hand? Are you not sure you graduate? Okay. Or you have not seen your results, so you are wondering. So it was it humility to keep your hands down? Or pride? So yeah, some people have first class. Fortune, I know. Kira is not sure. Who again? Sonny. Sonny rejected it with the speed of light. They say Sonny saying me. You know, we have a first class here, and we are not trusting God for one. We have. Okay. My wife, I taught her so she graduated with the first class. Amen. The point I want to make is that if you treat God's word the way these people, if you observe first class people, they are always strong in church, even in the things of God. You see, some people, they can't rest now as I said this thing. People that have second class upper too, you see they are strong in the things of God. You know people that used to give us problems sometimes in church? No, strong took two are trying. People that have pride very well is third class student. They have pride. Even in church, they don't allow us to rest. So why are they talking to me anyhow? Say, what is your class? Are you third class? Why are you talking to me anyhow? See. They have pride of life. It shows in their attitude, but it's not entirely like that. There are some that the class now made them humble and say, God, if it's not you, I am finished. Oh. So they become humble. But some have not even learned their lessons. Hallelujah to Jesus. So please, if you are coming to church, always get your writing materials. The way these people made first class, that's how you make first class life. You may have not come out with a first class degree in school, but if you are diligent with the word of God, you have a first class in life. And I pray all of you have first class in life. So please always come to church with your writing materials. This is not, we are talking about life. We're not talking about what you just learned in school, that small niche of biology, anatomy, microbiology. This is about life entirely. Which one should you take more serious? You know, sometimes you finish school, you think you make it, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes we first class F. You finish. Have you climbed Okada before? Years ago, I climbed Okada and the man was taking me to school. And I was saying, sir, please, blah, blah, blah. He was like, don't shout for me now. Do you know what are you going to learn that we have not learned? I say, I don't understand, sir. He said, this your department was my department. I came out with a strong 2-1. I said, I don't understand. You made 2-1 in this place. He said, yes. I said, that means you must be very intelligent. He said, yes. So this Okada does not mean I'm small. It's just that life. I said, now, wow. Department that people are trusting God to graduate. You graduated 2-1 and you are on the Okada. So be humble. Tell somebody be humble. Learn the Bible very well. Don't allow degree to deceive you. Meanwhile, still make a good class of degree anyways. Alright, so I was saying God is a religion for God that you avoid sin every time. It's okay for God. As long as it's sin, run away. Are we together? Run away eternally because the enemy has come but to what? Steal, to what? Kill, and to what? Destroy you. Eternally, Satan wants you destroyed. You know, as you are hearing a voice saying, collect that bribe, collect that bribe. Do you know what is waiting for you at the front? Destruction. Yeah. He does good with one hand and destroys you with the other hand. You can't collect, you may leave that, you may collect that bribe and 10 years later, that matter may resurrect. Are we together? One time, one of my neighbors came to me and said, he wants to use my account to collect some money where I used to live before I left, while I was yet unmarried. And I looked at him and I understood that was fraud. I said, for what? I now told him, my account has problem too. If the money enters, it will not come out. And he left me and went to another neighbor and collected. After a few months, the neighbor came to me and said, he does not understand. Since the day this person collected his money from account, there has been problem. I said, what did your spirit not tell you? He said, they were going to give him a share of the money. So he accepted. And now see him in problem. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are we together? When Satan does something with one hand that you are considering him to be nice, he has destruction what? He told Jesus, worship me and I'll give you all the glories of the world. You think that was all? Huh? At the end, if Jesus was not God, if he was man and became a prey to the devil, he will finish him at the end. Are we together? You've heard ladies who delve into wrong lives because of materialism. At the end, they regretted. Young men who delve into Yahoo, at the end, they what? Regretted. They want to make money at all, by all means. At the end, they what? Regretted. He has come but to what? Steal. To what? Kill. To what? Satan. You know, have you watched Vampire before? Huh? You see the way vampires are. That when you die, they are very happy. They'll be laughing. When Satan suffer and you die, he'll be jubilating with blood in his mouth for your death. That's how wicked the enemy is. There's no good in the enemy. It's only God Almighty that has you at heart. Are you together what I'm trying to say? So God always wants you away from sin. Because the consequence of sin is what? Death. Well, glory to God, the gift of God, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. That's why he brought eternal life to you. He said in his word in John 10:28, let's see 28 of this part of scripture. He said, I want everyone to read together. He said, and I give them eternal life. And they shall not never, neither shall anyone. Because of eternal life in us, how many of you have eternal life? Say amen. The Bible said you will never perish. You will never become a prey to the devil. And Satan will never snatch you out of God's hand. Because you have what? Eternal life. You know, what if you have it and you don't understand it? You will still be living as if you don't have it. Imagine I gave you $15,000. And you couldn't eat before coming to church. Will I not be shocked? So why couldn't you eat? I don't have food. Why are you talking like this? Why didn't you eat food before coming to church? I don't have food, sir. But do you have $15,000? Yes, sir. So why couldn't you buy the food? Because I couldn't buy the food, sir. Or maybe you say because I don't have money. Somebody will be like, what is happening in this place? What's going on here? It is possible, right, that you have something and don't understand it. You don't understand what you have. The Bible said, my people, let's read that, Hosea 4:6. It said, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. You see it? Not because they don't have it. Lack of what? Knowledge. You have it, but you don't know nothing about it, and so you cannot use it. Why are Christians in sin with eternal life on their inside? With eternal life. Kai baratusu bragadish. You know, one time I was speaking with some fellow and he said some things that were stinking in the realm of the spirit to me. I knew they would not understand me until they take some time and get off their mind. They said to me, they said, Pastor, you know, they didn't even know I was a pastor. Sorry. I was sitting with one of my boys years ago in BSU at the tail of our schooling. In that SU park in Second Campus. Just relaxing. And the guy said he wants to minister the word to us. We're on t-shirt and jean. So he was not sure. You know, they don't write born again on the forehead. And while he wanted to talk, that my boy wanted to tell him to stop, that I'm a pastor. I now pinch him and say, allow him. I don't know why. Just allow him talk. And he began to teach. He said, do you know that if you receive Jesus, you will never go to hell? Amen. Hallelujah. That's true. He said, do you know if you receive Jesus, even if you sin, you will still not go to hell? Of course, I didn't say anything. I was just looking at him into his eyes as he was talking. I wanted to see, I wanted to understand by what spirit. He said, do you know that no matter what you do, because you have received Jesus, you will still go to heaven? As he was saying it, I couldn't bear it anymore. When I closed my eyes, my boy knew there was trouble. I said, stop it now. Stop it. I quoted over 10 scriptures to him. He was just looking at me like this. I said, how can you be talking like this? What is the meaning of John 3:6, John 3:9? What is the meaning of those scripture? What, now, you may want to say, I'm talking about 1 John 3, alright? Now, what's the meaning of 1 John 2? If you look at the beginning of that scripture, it says, my little children. And he's not talking about children. He's talking about people who are small in the faith. Babes in Christ. Look at what he said. These things I write so that you may not sin. That's the emphasis. His writing is to the end that the people should know what sin. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? John is saying that whatever I've written to you is to the end that you do not what sin. Meaning if you are done reading the word of God that I've sent to you, don't sin. Now, because John cannot contradict himself. In 1 John 3:6, he said, if you know the Lord or are abiding in him or have seen him, you cannot continue in your sin. So it makes sense to say, if you read, if you are done reading this, you should not sin. Now go back to that part of scriptures, 1 John 2. Now see what he says. He said, and if anyone sins, there should not be a castaway. Of course. Firstly, the emphasis is my little children. So he didn't expect so much from them. That's why he said, if anyone sins, the standard is that you shouldn't sin. But since you guys are growing, if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Always understand that when you sin, your sin has been forgiven. Come back on track and understand you are the righteous. But as a righteous man that you are, the standard is that you should not sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So I said, if you emphasize a believer living in sin so much, it simply means you don't understand. You are a child, you that is talking. And you think we're eternally supposed to be children. That's what I told him. He got amazed. And I read 1 John 3:6, 1 John 3:9. He said, I thought there was a route. I said, mention, carry your concordance. I opened my iPad for him. I said, show me. I showed him all the root words in 1 John 3:9. Nothing there suggests another thing. He had never seen the scripture in his life, 1 John 5:3. Where the Bible says, it says, the commandment of God are not burdensome. It blew his heart. I saw his face. His countenance changed. I said, the commandment of God are not burdensome. In the Amplified, I said, are not difficult to obey. I said, who do you think said this? Glory to God. I couldn't bear it. I said to him, it is impossible. You see, when we begin to say these things, if you are plugged in the Spirit, and you begin to speak the way God wants you to speak, people will think you are mad. Because it's almost unbelievable. Do you know everybody that thinks that nobody can live above sin don't have any reason why they believe whatever they are believing? It is only their experience that is the reason why they are believing what they... Who has said it? Where did you see it? Did they burn you and tag sin? They put sin on your cloth and said, on your body and said, you must end up a sinner. It is because of our experiences that we have finally agreed together in the whole world that nobody is. Where did we see it in the Bible? Nobody saw it anywhere in the Bible. We try to please God. We try because humanity, on our inside, every human wants to do what is right. There is a passion. There is a fire to do what is right on our inside. Even before you met Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Even before you met Jesus, everybody knows that sin is bad. Everyone knew. But probably not some to the highest, you know, not some to some complicated niche of sin. You can hear people say, for instance, if someone drinks, is it sinning? Because they are wondering, is that a sin? Their culture have taught them that drinking is not bad. You know, some believe that you should drink, but you should not be drunk. But the good question is, why are you drinking? Why are you drinking? Medical science says any percentage of alcohol beyond normality has the potency to destroy the human body. So if it has the potency to destroy the human body, why are you taking liquor? Why? Anybody here, tell me one reason you take alcohol beyond normality, if you are taking. We probably may have some ambassadors here. Tell us why. As I said so, Isaac touch Kosi. Kosi, you take alcohol? Because as I just said it, Isaac just touched Kosi, sharp. Say, answer, pastor. Hallelujah to Jesus. What is the reason? If you had take alcohol before, you know that the tin is the most useless thing that's ever hit the head. How many of you have tasted that thing? Flora, tell us. Yeah, she has tasted. You were there when they were saying it now. Was it sweet? Flora? Say it to us. She's even wondering whether it's not sweet too. Hallelujah to Jesus. Years ago, when my dad was still serving in Ojo Barracks, One time I came back home, my mother was saying, if you ever taste that here, I'll break your head. She went and opened it. She didn't know what was inside. And she drank. I said, it's bitter. And you know, it's bitter and you are still... If you have tasted it before, you know it's very... It's just unbelievable. The first time I ever tasted alcohol, it was tar. Many years ago. We went for an outing with our friends in SS3. My friend was like, test it. That it is life. It makes somebody feel refreshed. And blah, blah, blah. Do you know I was actually advising him not to take it? And he was explaining to me that it makes somebody feel refreshed. So I said, okay, let me see that refreshing you are saying. Me, that was the preacher. And I said, bring it, let me see something. So I truly thought that the tea used to give one kind of refreshment. Because he finished eating rice. And if you see how that guy was taking it, pop, pop. Pop, pop. I felt like there was something special about that thing. When I put that thing in my mouth, it was pwah, 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 pwah. I said, how can you eat rice and take this kind of thing? I honestly thought there was something special about it, that it would just make you to start seeing stars or something. But you see, Satan has deceived so many. You see people advocating for alcohol, like, you know, some people insult even pastor. Why are you talking against alcohol? Why? The Bible says drink, but not be drunk. You now say, show me the part of scripture. We're like, me too, I heard it somewhere. Let me call somebody that told me that thing. It's not in any part of the Bible. Is it the Nazarenes in scripture are the people that God used in the Old Testament to teach us about consecration in the New? They had special algorithms to how that they should live their lives. One of it was that they should not cut their hair. Not because God wants Christians not to cut their hair. He was trying to teach us something from how they live their lives. And one of it again was that they should not go close to wine. The root word is olam. He said they should not go close to what? Wine. Not normal wine we drink. The strong wine. He said they should not go close. Not that they should not drink. They say when they are drinking it, they should not even go close to it and smell it. You see? That paints a picture. In fact, the Bible says kings should not take it. That it destroys the great. Meaning if you have the potency for greatness and you begin to take alcohol, you will not be great again. I know some people are saying, I reject it, I will be great. That's a drunkard talking. If you say in your heart, because I know some people, I heard the reply in the spirit, I reject that, I'll be great. And that's a drunkard replying me. There is no reason in this world, are we together, that one should take that. Our culture taught us, you know, when I was going to marry my wife, they said I'll bring so this thing of alcohol. I didn't buy it. I bought Chandor. One of it is around 5,000, if not more. 6,000 now. One of it. So I bought the whole pack for them. They did not know what that meant. They still wanted star for 400. I said to them, somebody should tell them in the language that what I bought, one can buy plenty star. And they were trying to tell them, Prophet brought something better than star. It's more nutritious, is more wonderful. And the people are not there like they won't star. And it brought chaos. She was outside. It brought trouble. He said, again, if I'm not bringing this, blah, 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 blah. They thought I was joking. You know, I was built from kingdom. I'll come and give Unsolum. When we're trying to infiltrate the earth. I said, no. No. They thought I was joking till I went. My pastors were there. I went outside. And one of the my in-laws, my family, my uncles came to me and said, just give it. It's just a one-day thing. That's where the problem is. It's just a one-day thing. Will he ever stop? And I said to them, I'm not giving. I said, on the car. They thought I was joking. I said, on the car, we are going back to Makurdi. We are not married. I saw my wife came out. What is happening here? What is happening? She just entered there and scattered. Maybe she leave my husband for me. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, you want to lose me? And The eldest brother came outside. What is the problem? I said, they said, if I'm not giving a call, I will not marry. So I'm going back to my college. No, man of God, stop that. Stop that. Please. Sorry. I'm coming. He entered. He's not giving a call. The authority just came alive. And they called me. Come inside. They have agreed. I'm not sure they agreed before they called me back. Now I said, that's not possible. I don't do that. I'm from the kingdom. You know, thief language and star. Which one is older? Thief language. Idoma language and star. Which one is older? There was an Idoma man before there was Shekpe. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There was a thief man before there was Ogogoro. We are older than these useless things we are putting as a part of culture. It is out of frustration people started drinking all of those things. When you give up on life, then you carry Shekpe. If not, a normal human being, can you take Shekpe? Some of you don't know Shekpe. I go in the barracks. I know these things. Shekpe just takes you off the blues. You just begin to see wonders. If you take Shekpe, there is nothing in this world you cannot say. There is nothing in this world you cannot do under the influence of Shekpe. You just feel like you are flying in the blues, like you are a bird. You are flying. You feel like the strongest man that's ever hit the earth until a military man slaps you. Have you seen these boys recently that are on the streets? They come and slap them before they come back to normality. Is it kolos they call it or something? That's what Satan wants. It's that small. It first starts with small cigar. Some people that smoke today, it was, you know, the way you people, some of you, God helped you. Some people start with paper. They just on it. When nobody is at home, mommy is not home, daddy is not home. I don't know why we children wanted to just practice bad things. We see people doing good things, but when our parents are not home, we light paper. We now go to the mirror. Then he graduated to when somebody will smoke and throw. When the person goes, oh look, nobody. Oh, Kai. This thing said, what is in this thing? Just Satan just wants us to be doing stupid things. Most of you sitting there, you carried one that somebody has finished before. You've tasted. You just, what is this with benzene and aspen? I beg, I'm not taking. And you ran away. Sister, now this is how some people started smoking. Some again is with friends. They just sat down. Everybody was drawing. They don't want to feel like dull boys. Hassan Nasrallah, he gave Usman. Usman drew. He gave Friday. Friday drew. Then I gave Oche. Oche said, what? Oche now said, what is there? Just a one day something. Wow. Listen. What is in this? Why are people condemning this kind of thing? This thing did not harm anybody now. That's how I start. You know, in my secondary school, they called me one time in an uncompleted building where my friends were just there. We had the key. They are building school. We removed the key. And we are the only one. Even the school cannot access that room again. It was only us. The first time, teacher, Mr. Norman, God bless him. I came late because I went to training in the morning before school. Morning training. And nobody knew I went for morning. Yeah, we came from somewhere. You people think we fell from heaven. Well, if you hear some of our stories, some of you will be tempted to carry your Bible and leave this church. And when I entered the school, I came very late. I mean, I'm talking about 2-9 in a military school. 2-9. That's a sin. You know when they say sin against the Holy Spirit? That's a sin. A deep sin. So as I entered, because the gate man is our man, so there's a way we do it, the man. As I entered, you know, the way military school is, as you enter, everybody in the school will see you from the gate. So I wanted to pretend like something was not okay somewhere, like I was arranging myself. My bag was inside my school uniform. You know that small leather bag that is just too rope. So it was not looking like I was just coming to school. I was trying to arrange and talk to him like a teacher sent me. So as I was doing my hand, 3 months of Koboko. And it was just merely singlet inside my body. I didn't even wear cardigan. If I knew, I would have worn cardigan inside. Just singlet. When I dodged the first one, I said, no, Holy, did I know Holy Spirit that? I said, I can't take this. It's better something happened in the school today. Do you know he started pushing me? As he came, as I just, he slid a pew. The whole school was shouting, hey! Student from their classes, hey! As I entered my class, they just threw me key. I went to the uncompleted building and I sat there. They looked for me in the entire school, shake it up and down. I was nowhere to be found. I only attend classes when it's not him. I entered and I go back to the building. The day the man caught me, nothing in this world could save me. But this is the point I was trying to make. They were smoking in the uncompleted building. We first took one thing they used to call, is it Cynthia or something? I can't remember. It was a very sweet dream, but very ripple effect. Calypso. Kai, Pastor Emma. Kai, that's so accurate. And they told me, because I was not drinking, they knew that I was not doing all of those things. They said, 500. You know what 500 was in my time in secondary school? So it was good money, 500. They said I should just take it and carry this 500 if I can finish it. Guess what? I finished it. It was so sweet. When I finished it, they said, you are not reacting. That you should start reacting. Go and stand under the sun. When I stood under the sun, I started reacting. Then they started smoking Igbo and they started sharing. That's how they gave me. When they gave me that first day, when I drew, you know, we came from somewhere. That's just the truth. In the barrack, you did not draw that in. After school, my best friend is one of my best friends, Samal, is a captain now in the Nigerian Air Force. He got offended because we read together and bought yogurt to clear my eye and everything. You know, when I entered the house, I first followed to the parlor to greet my father. That day, I followed from the backyard to bath. You know, you carry school uniform, I entering bathroom to go and bath because my mouth was smelling. And my dad, being a wise man, he said, welcome. If you follow this path, you will die like a useless human being. I said, what did he smell? He said, for the first time, you follow the backyard to the house. You baited before you are greeting me from school. He said, you are just learning work. You know, fathers are always fathers. I didn't know what to say. Maybe he smells the thing and etc. The next day, they called me to come and smoke. That's how it starts. Small, small. The same boys. Small, small. Where you day? I'm almost coming to school. Why are you following? I was almost jumping the fence when they called me. Because we always follow the fence. They said, where are you? Come to Cantonment C. If you know Kaduna in the barracks. We are there buzzing. They are not doing anything in school today. I said, I'm coming. It is so terrible. But you see, Satan still wants you in it. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why I'm emphasizing this. Maybe God wants somebody who is smoking to stop smoking. I'm being honest. You can leave it. You can leave that part. It has destroyed so many. I used to have two friends who were military cadets. They were regular cadets. I wouldn't call their names. More than even two that I know, but these particular two were my friends. These guys were in third term. It's remaining just 2 years for them to become commissioned officers. And in the regular, you are a real military man. They call the six-month guys almost civilians. Now, yeah, it's the bias. It's how the job is. Now, in their third year, these boys took something. Their house was just close to the cadet residence. They used to call the place. I don't know if they still call it. It's called Asurok in Kaduna. It's a place for civilians, but they grew with us in the barracks, even though they are civilians. You know, they have civilian workers in NDA. So, they grew in that place, and just one fence, then they crossed to Abyssinia Battalion. Behind, I think, is Boma. At the front is Mogadishu, and at the side there, it is Dalet Battalion. So they just jumped and entered the fence when they were on holiday like this. Cadets are on holiday. They had smoked to steeple and drank. And they started punishing people to a point that they carried sand and pour into people's ear. People were like, you are carrying sand and pouring into, you know, if you are normal, you cannot try that kind of thing. Punish people to people who were bleeding blood. People got unconscious. Some of them fainted. We know that we can work on people like this, but that one was too wicked. It shows that you are not normal. That you punish a lady till a lady pass out. Even a lady fainted. And when they woke up, the commander asked, which people did this to you people? They were all in the hospital in the MRIs. So which people did this to you people? All the guys were scared. The lady mentioned, I remember. She mentioned their names. As they called the guy, of course, he called the people that they were saying they were all under the influence of alcohol. All under the influence of smoking. They didn't know what they were doing. Because if you are normal, a normal cadet is not trained to behave like that. That's how they lost it. After their father has worked hard, even as civilians, to put them there, having bright future in the military, they all left at that point. And, you know, Satan now condemned them the more. I think one is doing quite okay. The second one continued as a chain smoker. That's how he kept on living his life. Till today as we are talking. I'm not sure that he's even living a straightforward life, because you've learned how to shoot all kind of guns and you are now a chain smoker. You'll be tempted to even do worse things. That's why most times when they drive them like this, their costs may try to gather their money for them to leave the country, because they become the real terrorists. They are masters of any bush. They can train people to fight the military. You know, things like that, because they are well trained. The enemy has come, but what? Steal. Ask most people that are smoking today, how the hell did they start smoking? You'd be so amazed. Just one joke somewhere, one small play. That's how it started. Just one small party. They just went and said, make I say at the TV. That's how it started. I knew when one of these guys I'm talking about started smoking, it was in my front, my crow eye. They called the drink Vaga. He just said, let me see how this thing is. He took it small. And they were like, hey, big boy, big boy. He now vest and collected everything and drank all. Because they called him a big boy. That same day, because he was already high, he took cigarette and finished. For the first time you are smoking, you finish an entire cigarette. Every day now, there was a lady. You know, I'm mentioning the name in my mind. I'm tempted to say it physically. The lady is you know, these ladies that are like very popular in class. And she was cool with the guy. And anytime she comes to school, they will be playing. You understand what I'm trying to say? And he will be smoking to impress her. She likes bad boys. So you see him smoking and you see her just massaging his shoulder. And he will be smoking big boy with his big babe. That's how I started. Now, that lady, as we speak, she's in South Africa. She has her own eatery. The last time I heard, she was in South Africa. She finished Bangkok University. Her father is a big man, a general in the military. Once a general, always a general. Whatever they are paying generals today, they are still paying her father today. Because even if you retire, they will pay you like that. The father trained her in Bangkok University. She went to South Africa. She's a big girl. She's into cooking and the rest. Very wealthy. Where is this young man? Still smoking. As a chain smoker. You see how the enemy can be terrible. That's why I tell some of my young guys in church, this the way these ladies are liking you, and the way these men are liking you, you think it's love of God. Love inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some of them, they are innocent of what the devil is trying to use them to do. They don't know that Satan is using them. When I started preaching, I was telling people some stories. You see girls liking you anyhow. It was when I started preaching that girls are liking you. Before I started preaching, when you were looking for the like, you were not getting it. But now that you are born again and God has called you to preach, that's the time people want to start liking you. Is that not a trap? It is definitely what? A trap. The time you are in the world that you might use to like girls, girls are not coming. What has changed with you? You are born again, you are called to be a preacher, and now they are liking you. So why does she like, why is that lady liking you? I can sing, man, the way I sing. And now the next time you are holding mic, instead of singing for God, you are doing your neck. Ooh! Because when you, ooh, she get impressed. And when I do, ooh, you look at her face, my God, Shoma is smiling. Ooh! You don't know people do like that on this stage. Only God knows. When God opened everybody as Siri in this place, you'd be so shocked. I called someone, I was trying to teach him. I said, you see, Sometimes Satan will send a lady that doesn't only love you. She will be giving you money. You will think that you have met your destiny ever. You don't know his destruction. Before you know, anybody that gives you, for a lady who is not matured, barely 25, or say 26, she has money she can give you as a young man. And she loves you. She doesn't have that capacity to be behaving like that yet. Before you know, she will usurp authority upon you. You will see her commanding you like a teen. Where are you? Be here in 2 minutes. No, we've seen people in that place before. You don't know the Bible says the gift of a man, that man there can be substituted for a man or a woman. The gift of a man maketh way for him. What they will not tell on a good day because of what they're giving you, they'll tell you. They'll tell you. You'll be thinking it's God's blessing. Oh, God has favored me. I've seen the one. You have seen the one because they are giving you money. They are giving you money. You know, years ago, I used to be in a relationship where they gave me money. They gave me money within the good. And I was not collecting all the money. Imagine a lady tells me, I want to change your house. Like, not just change where I'm staying. You want to change everything in my room. And you have budgeted with my boys. They've gone to high level, collected, paid for chair, paid for fridge and everything. As a student too, in 100 level. You are changing everything about the young man. And they called me, sir, are you at home? What is the problem? Sir, a truck is coming with some things that someone ordered for you. I said, I don't understand. Which truck? Then they told me, sir, God has blessed you. Oh, your grace is strong. There's this, and I'm like, I didn't agree with anybody. The nun told me what happened. I said, we did not agree for this. Please, I'm not collecting anything. I couldn't even believe myself. Because of how I've been trained spiritually, I couldn't believe myself doing that kind of rubbish. I knew the implication. And I said, no. There was a point again, they registered me in one place, they buy this boutique. Every month I should choose a particular suit. So as I said this, in some people's eye open. They're like, Pastor, you know grief for that one too. Your own too much. Oh. Meaning I should just enter there and just carry the suit. And go. This man, are you sleeping? You are meditating, I believe. Hallelujah to Jesus. I refuse. I had several offers. I refuse. That's why sometimes I joke with my wife. I say, give me 100K. Where I was coming from. When I'm playing with her, I say, give me where I was coming from. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm not trying to joke. Amen. It was like that. And I remember one of my friends, when I wanted to leave the relationship, when I heard God, God said, this is not where I want you to be. And believe me, I didn't hear God before I entered. We just saw ourselves and we agreed we like ourselves. And it's so funny that we did not ask ourselves out. We just started a relationship. Nobody say, I like you. We just wake up one morning. I don't know if anybody ever entered that kind of relationship. I love you. I love you too. Okay. Now we're in it. That was it. And the Lord said that was not. You know, that week I entered, God spoke to me through a prophet. He said, leave the relationship. I did not leave till after many years. Four years. Wow. Now we are so glued to each other. When I'm leaving now, it's painful than the first time. I finally left. When I told my friend I wanted to leave, he said, leave where? He says, as we speak now, she just sent 5K for morning food, breakfast. I'm going to buy us bread. And I asked him, who told you to collect? He said, no, we're just chatting. And I said, we have not eaten breakfast. We are trusting God. I said, you are a manipulative human being. And she said, breakfast. So imagine you want to break up and they've sent you breakfast for you. How do you not break up? He said, we are going nowhere. He didn't say, I am not. He said, we are going nowhere.
Oh,
And it's not like she's a devil, but she was not wired for ministry. I saw that she didn't have passion for ministry. Even though she liked me as a person, it was just liking me maybe because I was a fine boy to her, but she didn't like me for ministry. When we talk about, in fact, one day she was telling me, you know, if you were a military officer like your father wanted, you'd have been very, very special. It would have fit you. I just imagine you on the uniform with your, you know how wonderful you'd be as a military officer, and you know you'll make a good officer. I said, what of now that I'm a pastor? He said, no, we give God praise, but I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. I just knew this is not my wife. After a few years, one time we were talking, I said, what is the name of their ministry again? Can you remember? She said, Glory. No. She was trying to mention the name of our ministry. She said, and that name of your ministry, Glory Carrie. Glory Carrie. I was like, am I dreaming? I said, Glory Carrie's ministry. My friend who was seated with me in the room, he just put his head down. You know those wicked friends? He just said, hey. You know, she was facing me. He just did his head like this. Oh my God. I just knew if she left that house, talk would not finish that day. When we escorted her and we're coming back, he said, hey, whoa, Glory Carrie. I got so embarrassed. Then he asked me a question. If this one don't know the name of your ministry, what of the message? And anytime we talk about ministry, you see there's a little bit of argument. A little bit. I just knew that's not the person. Even though there was a lot of money. I mean, when we do a program, she give 90%, we the church give 10%. They didn't know how we're doing things on campus. Just say, Prophet Simon is rich. The way he's buying speakers, you don't understand. I couldn't say it out to everybody. We say, okay, I just want to extend this invitation to you. I'm trying to buy some speakers, but how much is the money? No, I'm not saying you should buy everything. How much is the money? 200,000. You just see 190. So that, is that not too much? You now hear, what am I using the money for? Now, will it be difficult if God speaks to you in that situation? Very difficult. Very difficult. If I wanted to leave, see Flora there. Even Flora stood against me. They gave her money. They've been giving her money. And she's small like this. Michael, biscuits. His life was full of biscuits. My sisters, they mounted up against me. 10K. Every month, at least 10,000. Allowance. Sister-in-law allowance. So everybody's rose up. You know when your fight starts from the home, it's very difficult. Everybody goes, you cannot. I said, the Spirit of God spoke to me. Which Spirit of God? Now this one we choose. Even though now they prefer my wife. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday I was talking to some ladies in the office. They blew my mind. I said, why? What's kept you in church? And one made me surprise. In fact, the two of them say, sir, because of Mama T. I said, hold on for a moment. What did you just say? Kept you in church? Say, Mama T. I said, what of me that started the ministry? It's me that God called. Is it not the word of God? Say, yes, sir, the word is there. But you see, Mama T encouraged us to stay. Because when we saw her devotion, we said, we should stay too. You know, I was amazed. When Pastor Emma's wife told me years ago that this ministry will scatter if I leave Mama T, it was a threat. We were just joking with Ochanya. I was dancing, what if I just leave this ministry? Sorry, it will scatter. Like a joke, she imagined, sorry, the ministry will just scatter. I said, hold on, what did you just say? Sir, no, I'm just joking, but it will really scatter. Every people will just... I said, this ministry that I started before this woman came, you were saying, That's how God blesses. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The woman I have now wants to do ministry. You people have seen it now. It's so clear. So calm down. You know, when I left that relationship, I never knew I would find a woman that would be very supportive. In fact, at the point I said, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I should just allow ladies to do what they want. Let them just be coming to visit the ministry once in a while. But when I got my wife and she had an opening to go and school outside the country, I said, you can go. She got offended with me. Why are you saying I should go? I said, no. You can go and school. And after 1 year, I said, Pastor Simon, after 1 year, I'm not going anywhere. I said, outside country. Who will not go? You know, I was being considerate because I know that all of us seated here. Sorry, all of us seated in this church. If they tell us to come and do masters outside the country, you are not coming to take permission. You are coming to collect. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. So, Professor, I'll be traveling in the next 2 weeks for my masters in the US. You are just telling me because you respect me. You are not trying to take permission. Nobody, most people say, they will not say, Professor, so there's an opening for me to do masters. I don't know whether you want me to go. Hey! She said, no. I was so shocked. I said, no, you can go. I mean it. I'm going to wait. I'm not, I will not do anything, blah, blah, blah. I said, no. I think we should get married. I was like, really? Of course, I'm not foolish to now push her and say, go. Go and make money for us. Mm-mm. I got married. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I'm excited. She's the only one here in the country. Once in a while, she visits. And I don't have a problem with that. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when God gives you something, it will make a lot of sense. Are you listening to me? It will. Sin causes a lot of trouble. Let me try to round up with it. It causes so much chaos. So much trouble. If there is sin in this house, some people will not come and sit with us this morning. They would have heard the rumor. It will make us look stupid. I've pastored this church for so many years. I'm not going to say we've not had one or two little issues we dealt with. But you see, what has sustained this ministry that you came this morning, you didn't hear some kind of stupid things, sexual immorality and the rest, is because of what we have been teaching over the years. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is because of what you have been teaching. We will not have even elderly women come sit with us here, elderly men come sit with us here, if they heard dirty things about this ministry. It is because of what we have been hearing for years. I saw one of these, your popular apostles in the body of Christ one time. We grew up together in Kaduna. And he was asking me a question. He said, what has sustained you, Simon? I knew when we started this thing. You are still preaching. Nobody has said any stupid thing. You know how our brothers in Kaduna, blah, blah, blah. A few of them who had some terrible career in ministry. And I said it to him one thing. I said, what I've been saying before is what I'm still saying right now. This is what has kept me. David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin. But listen, if that thing you hidden is not actually the word, but some assumption of the word, you will still sin. That's the power of right believing. You will still what? Sin. Are you all listening to me this wonderful morning? So it's not about all the nice, righteousness, blah, blah, blah. You see, your pursuit for living right should not be higher than your pursuit for believing right. Believing rightly. It is believing rightly that sponsors living rightly. And I tell you, you know, as I said, I want to go conclude with this. The grace guy, which I say everybody is a grace guy. Nobody is a law guy. When you begin to teach the gospel, right? And you truly want truth. The first thing you discover, or as a preacher, one of the first things you begin to call yourself is a grace preacher. And nobody is supposed to be a law preacher. Because we've transcended from law into what? Grace. You think that's the whole essence of the gospel. You know, the father of new creation reality is called E.W. Kenyon. Everybody that teaches new creation reality bows down to that man. We all honor him. We believe that there's something that man knew that really shook the whole world and has helped some of us today to gain ground, no matter what we think we know today, as a foundation. He's the author of the book New Creation Realities. I'm sure some of you have come across that book. You can never finish that book in 1 month. Except you don't know what you are doing. You can never finish that book in 1 month. You are reading that book, you'll just be set into encounters. And when I'm talking about encounters, I don't mean you are seeing angels flying and all of those things. Your mind will be traveling. The kind of things. He will cause you to think so deep. See something you've never seen before. He really helped a lot of us. If you observe Kenyon, as at the tail of his writing, I think somewhere even in the New Christian Reality book, he began to say things like this, that Jesus did not come so that your sins be forgiven. Jesus did not come so that you are healed. Jesus did not come so that this. Jesus did not. He mentioned a few things. He said Jesus came for a kingdom. He came for what? A kingdom. Why are your sins forgiven? Romans, Revelations 1, 5 and 6. Why were you washed with the blood of Lamb and etc.? Verse 6. So that you are what? Formed into a kingdom. Say amen.
Amen.
But if you think that heaven, what is kingdom? As it is in heaven, so should it be. So kingdom is living the influence of heaven on the earth. But if you think that the essence of Christianity is to finally make heaven, there's a way you see the gospel wrongly. You start thinking that the gospel is a means to making heaven. That's why you begin to say things like, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter because your sins are forgiven and you end up in heaven. That's foolishness. It is because you have a wrong picture of the end. A wrong picture of the vision. That is why whatever you are saying right now is an error. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Yes. What Jesus has done for us on Calvary is more like what will work on us like a prerequisite to getting finally captured into the kingdom or catapulted into the kingdom. More like before you enter this church, dust your feet on the ground. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. So before you get into the kingdom, you submit to the workings of Jesus. It's called grace. He walks on you with his grace. You know, you died with him, you resurrected. A dead man, Romans 6, 7, is incapable of sinning, etc. After you realize everything, that new man that you become, as we all become new men, we form together as his what? Kingdom, citizens of his kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The end is kingdom. Whatever God has achieved for us through his death, burial, and resurrection is a way through which we are finally catapulted or arriving into his kingdom. But if you see grace as the end, I mean his death, burial, resurrection as the end of everything, the vision, blah, 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 you make a mistake. You make a mistake. So he said, he that knew no sin became sin so that we become the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God even though we did nothing. Glory to God. To what end? To what end? So that we'll keep on sinning and getting forgiven? Huh? Are your sins forgiven? Past sins? Present sins? Future sin? Yes, it has. Are you listening to me? Let me show you one scripture before we pray. Open to the Bible in 2 Peter. I think I can even remember it. 2 Peter. Let me just be disciplined. Last scripture. You know, the preacher ends three times. This is the last one. 2 Peter 1, 5, and 9. Let's read together. I want to go. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge. Next part of scripture. Very fast. To knowledge, self-control, blah, blah, blah. Next part of scripture. To godliness. Next part of scripture. For if these things are, and what? You will be what? Neither barren, nor what? In what? Next part of scripture. For he who lacks these things, the things he has said above, is what? Short-sighted. Even to what? Blindness. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So when you are living in sin, it's because you are forgetting that you are being cleansed from your old sin. Now get the picture I'm trying to say. Peter is like, if you truly understand you are being cleansed, if you check the root word, it means you have, the nature of sin has been completely destroyed. The acts of sin have been completely what? Destroyed as a consequence of the nature of sin getting what? Completely destroyed. The word cleanse there is deep. The deeper word that you can see just carrying something to clean something. It's more like removing something entirely. Removing the nature and the act. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So it's like, if you cannot walk in holiness, it is because you have forgotten that you have been what? Fully removed from the old man into what? The new man. So the picture I'm trying to make, to paint is this. Peter is trying to say that if you find a believer in sin, it is because the believer does not understand that his old man has been completely destroyed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you find a believer in sin, I'll say it again. It is because the believer have not understood that his old man has been what? Meaning he has identity crisis. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He doesn't understand who he is. The believer right now does not have a sin problem. Even though your sins have been forgiven, the nature of sin has been destroyed completely. Are you all listening to me?
Yes,
say the nature of sin has been destroyed completely. Past, present, future. Say past, present, future. Shout it last time. Past, present, future. Completely destroyed. You are not getting improved upon on the old nature. More like trying to bath, clean the old nature. You have a new nature. It has been completely destroyed, the old man. That is why you should not walk in sin again. But if you don't understand that it has been, if you are trying to play religion and trying to clean up the old, because religion will only try to be cleaning up the old man. It will not. Religion does not understand that the old man has been destroyed. What is the cleaning up? You wash your feet, you wash your head, you dive in the water and come out. You understand what I'm trying to say? All of those things, you're just trying to improve on the old man, you keep on living in sin. How much can you improve on the old man? Because you can't put new wine in old wineskin. Say, my sins are forgiven. The nature of sin is destroyed. In the name of Jesus, sin is a destroyer. It destroys marriages, it destroys systems, it destroys long-term efforts. You've built something for years. One day, one news scatters everything. Sin is a destroyer. And that's why God does not want you in sin. You've heard great men, people like great president in America. I think there's one great one like that who was destroyed because of his sexual scandal. Great people who have been destroyed because of sin. Even in our country, there are great men who one scandal just finished them. Today we are judging. There's a man of God on the internet who are hearing a lot of things. I don't believe that man started wrongly. But you see, on the road, maybe if he truly made those mistakes, look at what sin has done then. You become a public disgrace. You are popular, have gone big, then sin. You know, as you are becoming popular, and you now do it now at that realm, then sin will make you a public disgrace. Satan just wants to destroy you. But even more, what Jesus has done for you is so much that you cannot think about sin. I'm not saying, I'm talking about sin so that you get, you know, nobody leaves sin by getting scared of Satan and the effect of sin. That's not the gospel. As I'm saying, sin can destroy me, let me repent. Don't repent because I say sin can destroy you. Repent because you know Jesus has forgiven all your sins and destroyed all the nature that is tied to sin on your inside. Say amen.
Amen.
It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance, not the understanding of the rot and the nature of sin. If not, it will bring about fear. And God said, I've not given you the spirit to what? Fear again. But the spirit of what? Sound mind. The spirit of what? And the spirit of what? He's a good father. He doesn't want you to come to him because you are scared. He wants you to come to him because you know he loves you. Say, God loves me. Is it love covers a multitude of sins? It does. It says, in love there is no fear. Say, I'm not scared. You are bold. Live above Satan, live above sin, not scared of the devil. There's nothing you can do to me. You don't exist in my world. You mutter these things every time. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
now, like the ruminant animal, God did all these things for us to learn. You are receiving anything as you are receiving now. You know why some Christians are not going? No, receive on the internet, receive everywhere. Get confused. This season they are talking like this. Next season they are talking like that. Next season, Satan will speak to them in the confusion. Have you seen some sincere brothers in the faith who are sincerely confused? Ever learning, never coming to knowledge of the truth. They don't understand that you're not just, you have big stomach, you know, you have the Holy Ghost, you collect like a ruminant animal. But they don't understand even more that you need to go and sit down and do what we call chewing the cord. And you observe that in the night with animals. Isn't it? When everybody is sleeping, you see your goat. What is your goat doing that time? Is removing what is. Now, whatever he's doing at that time is what will make him grow. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It was not whatever he was eating in the afternoon that will make him grow. He is removing it from somewhere now and processing it rightly so that it will now become very profitable for his system. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Have you seen people that eat plenty and they are still slim like you? Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you seen people like that? Our mothers know those kind of children. See, now John, they eat pass, so see, I ain't they like one. But the lady that is eating small in the house, that girl eating small, you see how she just comes, she just first small eat. You see now, the lady has become fat. Where is Benjamin? For instance, see them. You see these people, they eat very well. Oh. Someone like Benjamin now does not joke with pot of food. He carries the pot and keep in the front. Someone like Pastor Enan can eat very well. Check all the slim boys here. They can eat very well. Check the fat people. Have you seen fat people eat before? You'll be like, what is making them fat? I mean, there are some that can actually eat. But not all of them. I saw one fat lady that can eat pig very well. She can eat pig. And I said, you have problem. Two problem. You are too fat and you love fat meat. You know? So, the important thing is, go back home in the night and what? Shoot the cord. You want to be an effective Christian, go back home and what? Shoot the cord. Don't just get excited. Don't be listening everywhere. Some of you think you become a better Christian when you are done from here, you go and plug into YouTube and be hearing another thing. You finish from YouTube, you now join my online service on a Sunday. See what you fill your head with. You know, I'm saying, if you know, I'm asking prophet some question. Prophet, if you said this thing in the Bible, why is it's not because you read it too? It's because you went and interfaced with another preacher who you felt like counter what I'm teaching you. You know, let me say this last thing. God gives you pastors after his own. Now you have to walk by faith when God gives you a pastor. At a point, right? When I was teaching some things in the past, do you know I taught on rapture before? Do you know I taught on the rot of sin as a way for people to leave sin, as a reason for people to leave sin? Do you know I did that teaching before? You can imagine me that time when I was teaching this thing. People used to cry. I'll be teaching, people will be crying. If you will smoke Igbo and you attend my meeting those days in the barracks, you will be crying literally because you will think you are finished. One time I did a teaching on rapture. Almost every person in the ministry had a vision that week that Jesus was coming the next week. It was that serious. At that point, if somebody would have told me that this thing I'm saying now was the gospel, I would have not believed. Do you know what I'm trying to say is that at the point of your childishness, sometimes when your spiritual leader comes to you and wants to advise you, you may think he doesn't know what he's saying. I never believed that I'll be teaching the things I'm teaching today. I never believed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I never believed. Sometimes in your foolishness, when somebody is trying to advise you, you think you know what you are truly doing. You think so. People that have done great things in this world, ask them. They always submitted themselves to either fatherhood or mentorship. Because some people have crossed that path. They have followed that path before you came. What Moses heard clearly on the mountaintop, Aaron heard it as sounds of thunder at the base of the mountain. You see that? That means clarity is better as we become mature as a Christian. You see a more mature Christian talking to you a lot of times. It is because he's hearing it clearly than you at the base. It's not pride. It's the truth. Communication in the realm of the spirit is done by light. You truly think sometimes you know until you finally get to know. You'll be like, have you been in a place where you say, hi, God. Most of you that started hearing me, you've been in that place before. Sometimes I'm teaching, you see somebody biting his tongue. It means they've actually thought the former one was true. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Ah, don't just stop there. This one now I'm trying to correct you is still true. Out of this foolishness. It's still true. We've crossed that path. When we tell you this thing will take you nowhere, we mean it. It will take you nowhere. Are you all listening to me? So this beautiful thing that is happening, balance it. Make it easy for the Holy Spirit to help you by your obedience. Because Satan will be making sure that you fall by all means. You start making sure, you know, you have a lot of revelation. He wants to make you confused. He wants to take you to the wrong place. He wants to make you arrive in the wrong place. Blah, blah, blah. Location matters. Even in the things of God. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, go to the top of the building, wait for me there. When Jesus resurrected, he told some people to go somewhere and wait for him. He's coming. Location matters. God can direct where you should be. Do you believe that? Have you been blessed this wonderful morning? Bow your heads and pray. Father, we give you praise and we worship you for your word. We thank you for the entrance of your word to us tonight. We believe that, Lord, it will give us light. It will give us understanding. It is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet in the name of Jesus. Now pray in the spirit and make sure you chew the cord for a moment before you go back home and continue. Whatever you have heard, chew the cord. Assimilate it. Draw from it. Get it into your heart. That part of the teaching that really touched your heart. Go ahead. Go ahead. When visions are blurred to lead, when prophecy's tongues are frail, your word will remain my sight. I lose me to follow you. When visions are blurred to lead, when prophecy's tongues are frail, your word will remain my sight. I lose me to follow you. Your word, O God, is alive to my path and is healing to me. Your word, O God, is alive to my path. Though the grass is withered and the flowers will fade, but your word will remain. Hey. Your word, O God, is beauty to me. Oh, broken he have come for your word to invade as I stand on my knees. Your word, O God, is anointing to roll. When visions are blurred to lead and prophecy's tongues are frail, your word will remain my sight. I lose me to follow you. Oh, blessings and honor to Jesus, the Lion. Oh, glory and power forever. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We believe your word is a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. And as we go home and live our lives, we'll see the glory of your word in our lives in Jesus' gracious name. Can we celebrate Jesus?